management, or underwriters of Baltimore's home for cool jazz. WEAA 88.9 FM.
Welcome to Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead, here again to have a conversation with you about some of the stories that matter. A recent study found that due to violence, bitter politics, an uncertain future, these are some of the darkest times for people. More folks are reporting that they are depressed, that they are unhappy, that they feel stressed, worried, they have more physical pain, more anger, more sadness. More people today than at any other point since 2005. So it is a difficult time right now. But I thought about the words of Mary McLeod Bethune, who said, and I'm quoting here, "I leave you love. I leave you hope. I leave you the challenge of developing confidence in one another. I leave you respect for the use of power. I leave you faith. I leave you racial dignity." And she said, "I leave all of this with love." Here on the Today with Dr. K show, we feel the same way, that we can and we will make it. So even though the days seem dark and it's one thing after the other, and we're having an assault on our senses due to social media, hold tight. We're in this together and we will make it. And one of the ways that we make it, one of the activities that they tell you to do that makes you feel better, is to be in constant communication with your community. It ties into what we're doing now. Constant communication with our community. Let's open up the phone lines. Let's talk about these issues together and chart a new way forward. Now, I said all of that to prepare you for what we're going to talk about on today's show. I'm excited about this topic because I want to talk about race. And you're probably thinking, Dr. K, you always talk about race. But no, from a different perspective. I want to know, what does it mean to be a black person in America right now? What does it mean to be a white person? A recent case came out where a man who looks white, who is 90% white and 6% other and 4% African American, he is suing a company for discrimination. He says he was trying to tap into a loan that's designed for black people. He got his DNA testing saying, "Well, I'm 4% black. I'd like to get this loan." And they denied him the loan saying, "Well, if you're 90% white, you're benefiting from white privilege, you're going through the world and you look like a white man and you get everything that comes along with it, you cannot take the money that's designed for black people." And he's arguing that I am black. DNA shows that I am black. I want to talk about, what does it mean to be black in America? What does it mean to be white in America? And with all this DNA testing, do these categories even matter anymore? We're going to talk about that later on in the show. In the second hour, it seems quite appropriate that we should take a look at this new study that just came out from the New York Times that shows evidence that Donald Trump isn't the least racist person that we know, even though he constantly says that. Donald Trump is indeed a racist based upon his past and present behavior, and we can use the past and present behavior to predict his future activities. We want to talk about the fact that the current sitting president does not like black or Hispanic people based upon his policies and his own words. We're not just making it up, folks. It's based upon what Donald Trump has said himself. But first, on this day, we celebrate the birthday of Joe Leonard Morgan. He was a former Major League Baseball player. He played second base, and I'm told that he was considered to be the greatest second baseman of all time. The greatest. He won two World Series championships with the Reds in 1975 and 1976. He was also named to the National League Most Valuable Player during those years. He ended his baseball career in 1984, a batting average of .271. He had 2,517 hits, 268 home runs, 1,133 runs batted in. Now, for folks who know baseball, those numbers actually mean something. For the rest of us, perhaps not. He was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame in 1990. We have a clip from Joe Morgan. Let's take a listen to it.
It isn't easy being the first of anything. And Jackie Robinson could tell you about that probably better than anyone. But because of people like Jackie Robinson, the great Happy Chandler, and Frank Robinson, you know, all the barriers that were in baseball before are coming down, and we're all going forward. You know, I never thought I'd have the opportunity to play for a black manager, but I did. I never thought I would see a black elected president of the National League, but I did. And that makes me very proud. Because baseball is always been a leader in this area. And with Faye Vinson and the late Bart Giamatti, I know that these things will continue to grow. And I know that in the future, all the barriers will be broken down for not just blacks, but all the minorities, women included.
Joe Leonard Morgan. Now, he had a stellar career in baseball. But listen to this. In March 1988, while he was moving through the Los Angeles International Airport, he was thrown violently to the floor, handcuffed, and arrested by the LAPD. They thought that he was a drug courier. This is 1988. Times have not changed. But he went on and he actually launched and won a civil rights case against the LAPD in 1991. He was awarded over $500,000. And in 1993, a federal court upheld his claim that his civil rights had been violated. I thought about that, folks, because we keep talking about all of these incidences where white people are calling the cops on black people and getting them arrested for doing everyday activities. I'm thinking about Starbucks, for example. I'm thinking about the times it didn't end in arrest, but it did end with the fear that a lot of black people have of police officers having to confront that. Instead of just complaining about it, which we do, and I don't have a problem giving a space to vent, maybe we should consider in these cases filing a civil rights suit. That's what Joe Morgan did. File the suit, end up winning over $500,000 against the LAPD because they handcuffed him, they threw him to the ground, they arrested him because they thought he was a drug courier, and he was not. That's how we win. We look to find other avenues of how to hold this society accountable for their racist behavior. We need to think about that. Kind of file that away for things to do if it happens to you. Now, with that in mind, maybe we need to think about getting to a place where race doesn't matter anymore. That's what I'm wondering. Can we ever get there? I mean, we're living in a time now where it seems like there is a spotlight on the activities and on the lives of black people. We can't do anything without having some person in our environment, typically a person who is not of color, looking to intervene in our life with questions, with calling the cops, with taking it upon themselves to police whole communities. We have seen incident after incident of this happening. Well, here's something a little bit different. I got this from The Atlantic, and it talks about a man says his DNA test proves he's black and he is suing. That got me to thinking. He is 90% white. 90% European is what his DNA test says. Says he's 6% indigenous American and 4% sub-Saharan African. So he says that 4% shows that he is an African American, and therefore he should be able to tap into any program that's designed to help minority and women. Now, he was trying to apply for a loan from the U.S. Department of Transportation, and he was trying to get this loan, this money that was set up for Black folks, for Hispanic folks, for women to win government contracts. He wanted the loan to be able to get the information to then be able to put in this contract. He said he wanted to prove he was a minority, so he sent them a copy of his DNA test. Well, when they said they looked at the DNA test, the government officials said they were not convinced. He looked white. He had always lived as a white person. I'm sure that he had some benefits of being white and male. Let's think about white male privilege. They doubted the validity of his DNA test, and they said no, that there was no persuasive evidence that proved that he was indeed a Black person who suffered from being Black in America. See, it's not just that he wasn't that 4%, you know, sub-Saharan African. It's the idea that how had he been disadvantaged in this society? Because he was 90% white. So they refused to certify his business. He did not get the money. He could not apply for government contracts. And so he sued. Does it even matter anymore? It does, because his lawsuit is challenging the definition of what it means to be a Black American in this country. So they're looking at changing the definition. To me, if that's not white privilege, what is? You get denied a loan because you're 90% white, you're 4% Black, and so you're challenged. You want them to change the entire definition of what it means to be Black in this country so you can get what you need. I want to ask, and this is what I'm throwing open the phones for today, 410-319-8888. Do you even think these racial categories, Black and white, do they even matter anymore? Do we need to do away with these categories? What does it mean to even be Black in America anymore? If a DNA test shows that a white person, a person who has been living as white in this country, a person who has been benefiting from white privilege in this country, a person who's able to move through and not have to worry about all the stress that comes from being Black in America, their DNA test proves that they are 4% or 6% or 8% sub-Saharan Africa or East African or West African, should they then be able to apply for and receive things that have been put aside for disadvantaged, marginalized groups? 410-319-8888. We're trying to figure out what exactly does it mean to be Black in America. Now, that is an interesting question because we dealt with this a lot when Barack Obama was running for president. If we all remember, one of the big arguments around Barack Obama is that you could not call Barack Obama an African American. They said you can call him Black, but not an African American, because Barack Obama, your beloved, you know, Wakandan president, is not an African American. His mom was white and his dad was from Kenya. So we called him the first Black president, but not the first African American president. And so the question that I'm trying to figure out is, how do we deal with these categories? Does it even matter anymore? What do you consider yourself? How do you racially self-identify? Do you consider yourself to be a Black person? Do you say you are an African American? And do you see the difference in the two? 410-319-8888. We're talking about race. What does it mean to be Black in America, if anything at all? What does it mean to be white? Now, for this gentleman, this is a $98 million class action lawsuit that's on the books. And this one here is along the same lines. It's a man by the name of Richard Levy. He is an attorney for this other person as well. This is another white person who says that he suffered racial bias in the New York City Fire Department. This is a case that relied on self-identification to decide who was eligible for money that was set aside for marginalized groups. He's a fireman. He wanted to tap into this fund that was set up for marginalized firemen and women, for Black and Hispanic people. He did a DNA test. And even though he was over 85% white, European, in his DNA testing, and he also had a very small percentage of his blood, his DNA, that show that he was African, he is suing because he's saying, I'm black, I'd like to tap into this money. It is interesting because it gets into everything, right? So it's more than just about trying to apply for a loan. It's more than just trying to get government contracts. If you start having white people where the DNA tests show that they have some DNA that's from Africa being to tap into monies and programs set aside for people of color, does it even make a difference? Right now, white people are still the majority in this country in terms of percentage numbers. Right now, white folks are still at 62-63% of the population. Black folks are at 13.1%. Hispanics are at 18%. Asian Americans are at 17.5%. So with those numbers, if you have whites who are now able to tap into that money because with their DNA results, they can say, I am now an African-American because I'm 4% or I'm 6%. What does that do? And what does that do to how these monies are set aside? And how does that impact the black community? The DNA test, things like Ancestry DNA and 23andMe are now showing that everybody has DNA from all over the world. So what do we do with these categories? 410-319-8888. I think we should talk about it because I am considering getting my DNA done. I want to know where I'm from. And when I told my daddy I was going to get my DNA testing done, he said, what if you find out that the majority of your DNA says that you're from Europe? Do you start calling yourself a European white woman because 52% of your DNA is from Europe? Like, what do you do with that? What's more important? What has more weight? What the DNA tests say or how you racially self-identify or how the world racially self-identifies you, because there's a difference. Because how you racially self-identify, we think about Rachel Dolezal, the white woman who says that she considers herself to be black. She's transracial. She's transitioning into a black person. We got to talk about that because she is clearly a white woman who's trying to benefit from issues, from the struggle, from what it means to be black in America. Give me a call and let's talk about it. I have Sarah on the phone from South Baltimore. Sarah, how are you?
How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, and you just said it. The benefits, what their benefit is left on the table for those that are black. I'm not saying 4% does or does not, but you did not go through the struggle.
There you go.
And you're not struggling now. Mm. That's the key. You're not struggling now. You're not put down. You're not predisposed to the brutality of police and other things that are going on with blacks. So that is just that, you know, I don't want to appear to be racist, but it is what it is. That's just another way of putting the black man further behind into what he is actually due, which he'll never get. It doesn't look like it. Mm. But it's just another way of coming up in front. You're rooting, and you have no valid anything to do that other than 4%. Oh my goodness!
Come on, 4%. But then I wonder, Sarah, how many DNA markers do you need? So he's 4%. What if he was 25% or 50%, but still looked white and benefited from that?
Well, my grandmother's people are American Indian. On my father's great-great-great, they came from England. But I'm a black person. I cannot relate. That's all I have to say.
I'm so glad you called. Thank you so much, Sarah. Right. Folks, let's talk about it. So how many DNA markers do you need to be a black person? 40%? 30%? Or how do we rely on DNA testing to actually prove what is essentially a socially constructed category? Let's be clear, race is socially constructed, but we have built a society on that social construction. I mean, we are a raced society based upon how we determine and define blackness and whiteness and the history that goes along with it. 410-319-8888. I have Lucille on the phone from Baltimore County. Lucille, how are you?
Hi, Dr. K. How are you today?
I'm doing well.
You know, first, they wanted our invention.
Ooh.
Then they sit out in the sun and want our pigmentation.
Mm-mm.
And now they they want to be my brother, sister, whatever. You can't have it both ways. I mean, I'm Negro, color, African-American, black. I was born that way.
Mm-hmm.
And if I remember my anthropology class correctly, or I don't even have to go that far, every African is not black.
Mm-mm. Yep.
So just because you have those markers, what part of Africa are you from?
There you go.
And what is your ethnic lineage? Yeah, you could have African descent, but that doesn't make you black. Thank you, Dr. K.
Oh, I'm so glad you called, Lucille. Thank you so much. I liked the way that she put this down. So what does it mean to be black to you? If you are someone who racially self-identifies as black or African-American, give us a call. Like, what does it mean to be black? If you're someone who racially self-identifies as white or Caucasian or European, give us a call. Like, I need to understand this race-based societal definitions of how we see the world. And I'm trying to figure out, and one of the questions I ask my students, when is that moment when you realize that you were black? Like, what happened? Did someone tell you you were black? Did you have an experience that helped you understand your blackness? When did you first realize that you were white? Like, who told you that you were a white person? How do you deal with that? Because I think it's something that we have to talk about. Where does it go back? I know for me, when I think about what it means to be black and that moment when I realized I was black and that meant something, that was when I was about 7 years old or so in South Carolina. I used to spend every summer down in South Carolina. Jim Crow South Carolina is how my dad calls it, but this was, of course, after Jim Crow. And I remember there was a little white kid, a little white boy I used to play with down the street. And I remember him walking up to me. He was so upset, and I was trying to figure out why. He said, my father keeps talking about, he used the N-word. He said, those Yankee N-words and how they need to go back to the North because they're ruining life down in the South. And his daddy wanted to get the Yankee N-words. And because he was my friend and I was seven, I was like, well, where are the Yankee N-words? I want to get them too. Like, I want to help. And when I went home and told my grandmother, and she did a little digging, the Yankee N-words that my little white male friend's father was talking about, he was talking about me, talking about my daddy, talking about my mama, talking about us coming from D.C. down to South Carolina. We were the Yankee N-words that he was talking about. And I had to ask my grandmother, so you got to explain this to me. I'm seven. I didn't know what that meant. I learned then about what it meant to be black. And that is a lesson that I never forgot. I don't know if it's DNA, folks, or if it's the experience of walking through this country with dark skin. I want to talk about that when I come back. 410-319-8888. When did you first realize you were black or white? What does it mean to be black or white in America? Let's talk about it when I return.
Hello, I'm Justina Pollard, producer of Today with Dr. K. I just want to take this time to thank you for your donations to the Dr. K Teacher Depot. Your support was so appreciated, and guess what? The doors to the depot are open to any teacher needing water, sanitizers, or tissue for your classroom. Just contact WEAA and tell us what time you want to pick it up. Thanks again for your support. As you know, here at Today with Dr. K, we love our babies. WEAA is absolutely the voice of the community.
Explore a broadly defined cosmopolitan jazz scene with me. I'm Marcus Johnson, and I invite you to come catch the flow with me on Sundays from 9 to 11. It's an all-new contemporary jazz program featuring straight-ahead, smooth, and Latin grooves with urban instrumentals, southern jam bands, and soulful vocalists, much, much more. That's Catch the Flow with me, Marcus Johnson, Sundays 9 to 11 on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM.
Public Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM.
Welcome back to Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. Folks, we are talking about whether or not your blackness or your whiteness is defined by DNA, Is it defined by how you move through the world, the color and the complexion of your skin? Like, when is that moment for you when you realize that you were black or white? Because these are socially constructed categories, right? You know, it is our society that has defined what blackness is. It is our society that has defined what whiteness is. It is our society that made the decision that black folks, those that were originally from Africa, would be the ones who were going to be enslaved right around circa 1657. So there is a racially constructed motivational driving factor to how we deal with one another in this country based upon those categories. Well, if you have a white man, which is the case we're looking at, 90% white, has lived as a white man, has benefited from white privilege. He wants to get money and get approval to tap into monies that have been set aside for black business owners, for women who own businesses. And he's saying, no, I am 4% sub-Saharan Africa. So I am indeed an African-American. I'm a black person and I should be able to tap into that money. If this sounds familiar, it should make you realize and connect to affirmative action, because isn't that the argument around affirmative action? Why should I have to give up my spot that belongs to me as a white person so that a black person who I believe is less qualified should be able to get in? Because if it's about DNA, then what can essentially happen is that all the spots would be taken by whites, some of whom have 4% sub-Saharan DNA in their marker. We got to talk about blackness and whiteness today. I have Raphael on the phone. He's a new caller from East Baltimore. Raphael, welcome to the family.
Good afternoon, ma'am. Thank you for the topic.
Absolutely. Thank you for calling.
Just a little background. I'm biracial, and I also grew up in the South by way of Georgia. And actually, there were two profound events that occurred in my adult life that reminded me exactly as to who I was, not just basically defined by my upbringing by way of genetics, but because of the experiences. One was attending college and undergraduate school, whereas you had, I went to an all-white school, and then I went to graduate school at an all-African-American school. At the all-African-American school, they had what was called an other race grant that some of the white folk were receiving, during which time I was also applying for a similar scholarship, and it went through the grant program. To make a long thing short, after applying for same and was refused, I was told by a white colleague who advised me that I had not received that particular opportunity because of being, quote-unquote, too black. And I finally realized, having grown up as biracial, that I had arrived. Thank you very much for taking this
thank,
topic.
Thank you so much, Raphael. I appreciate you calling. So look at that, folks. Being reminded, what does it take in this society if you are someone who's biracial? Do you have to actually pick? I mean, I know and went to school with people who were biracial who told me that they decided that they wanted to go through the world as a black person. Now, the biracial people who told me this were of darker complexion. I wonder if you have a choice. I mean, it gets into the book by Nella Larson called Passing. What does it mean for black folks to have passed, to have had that opportunity to move through and benefit from the fact that their skin color was lighter, their hair was finer, their features were sharper, so they could pass? Well, how are we defining blackness? It's racially and socially constructed anyway, so we can talk about it. I also want to say a welcome to Christine Sumagyoy, and she's listening by way of Facebook Live. She is in Burundi, and she's listening. Welcome to the family, Christine, live from Facebook, from Burundi. We have Bernardo on the phone. He's a new caller from Anne Arundel County. Welcome to the family, Bernardo.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
You ready for me now?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so only thing I wanted to say that got me kind of thrown off here is how do these people find out about these grants that's supposed to be for us?
Right.
And we don't even know nothing about the grant. And this is not the first time I heard something about a grant that's supposed to be for black people or biracial, however y'all say it. And the thing that's crazy is that there's grants out here that we can get to make our lives better.
Right.
That we don't even know about.
Right. Right.
I don't understand that part about the whole situation. Why do they find out and we don't?
Right. And this one here, now, this particular one with the government contracts, if you go online and you're trying to get a special certification for your business, it has a click. So if you are a person of color, it asks you and you click the button and it opens up a world of just different questions, different information, because there's certain money set aside because of affirmative action and making sure that the playing field gets leveled. So that's how he found out.
So,
yeah.
Okay. So then they throw it out there. With 90% being white,
yes,
and they've lived in that area for so long,
yes,
and then they turn around and want to get the percentage of what? Come on, man! All right, well, that's my question. I kind of was unknowing about that. But it's a lot of us that don't know that we could do that.
Yes, I mean, and that's what we're talking about. There's another case, you know, Bernardo, before you go away, there's a gentleman named Taylor. He was trying to connect and tap into money set aside for Native Americans. He is 99% white. He's 1% Native Americans. His marker is one of 256 in terms of a marker of being Native Americans. And he's saying because of that 1%, he should be able to tap into monies set aside for Native Americans, even though he's 99% white and has lived his whole life as a white man and have benefited from that.
Well, right now I got a nephew that he's in Florida, and he came off with finding out that most of black people are really Indian or whatever, got Indian in them.
Yeah,
right?
Have Native American in them.
Right, so he's running off of the fact that he's not a black man, he's a Native American. All the reason why I laugh about that is because I really almost want to take up that same interest, and I really probably should go get my DNA tested.
Get your DNA tested, I'm wondering.
Because back then, when my mother was light-skinned, my father was dark-skinned, and from what my seeing ability, it's some Indian in.
Okay. Okay.
So,
all right.
I mean,
you might want to get tested. Yeah.
It's a lot of confusion in the blood thing for us human beings anyway, because who touched who?
Yes.
Happen,
right. And these are the DNA tests. Thank you so much, Bernardo. I mean, it's interesting, folks, when you start talking about how you classify yourself and what that means. I know on my mother's side of the family, my great grandmother's mother was a Cherokee Indian. But when I sit down, I don't check the box for Native American. I don't. I mean, I check the box for black. And I've been asking myself about that. So do I make the change? And even if I did say, you know, I'm no longer black, I'm only going to say I'm Native American. If I'm stopped by the cops and I'm driving along, can I stop and say, okay, before you do anything, I am not black, I'm Native American? I mean, does that really hold any water? You have a white man who is 99% European, looks white, lives as white, benefits as white, but no, I have 1% Native American blood, so I should get any special funding you have for Native people. When I'm going to college, I am not going to apply in the same pool as white folks. I'm going to apply as a Native American because I'm 1% Native American. Folks, come on now. This is absolutely insane, but we need to really figure this out, because blackness and whiteness and all this DNA testing, maybe the categories are mixing things up where it doesn't matter anymore. 410-319-8888. We have Terry on the phone from Pikesville. Terry, welcome to the conversation.
Hi, Dr. Kane.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I want to ask a question.
Yes.
I have a half-German grandbaby, great-grandbaby.
Okay.
I have half-Italian great-grandbaby. I have one that's just straight-up white. So what do we classify them?
Mm.
My son is black, born from black parents. My daughters are black, born from black parents. I'm black, born from black parents. Okay? I was told when my son was born that he had white blood in him.
Really?
Okay. So...
Who told you he had white blood? Did they do a DNA test on him?
His doctor said it. He had anemia at the time.
Ah.
And that's how I found out that he had more white blood in him than more black
really?
Blood.
I mean, that is unbelievable to me. The doctor said, from the fact that your child was born with anemia, the doctor said he has more white blood than black blood. Like, I am trying to wrap my head around what that means, right?
Ma'am, yes, ma'am. And check this out. How about his grandchildren? He has one dark one and one white one, and they're both from the same parent. Okay, the father is mixed white and black, and the mother is black. So with white people mixing with all these different cultures, all these different grades of people, how do we know any of us are black?
Right. That's what I'm trying to say. Maybe it's the DNA testing, because that's what we're getting into, the DNA testing that we have to look at. Now, I am not a hematologist, Terry, because a hematologist could really kind of help us to parse out, is there a difference between, you know, white blood and black blood? Because that's not my area of research, but I want to really figure out about the hematological differences when you start talking about a doctor telling you that your grandson or your son had more white blood than black blood. Like, was he looking at in terms of iron deficiency? Was he looking at hemoglobin levels? Was he looking at, you know, what was happening with the mean volume of the blood? Like, we start getting into that. I know my first question is, hey, have you taken care of my baby? Like, what's going on here that we're breaking it down and trying to figure out that my newborn baby has anemia? And what does that have to do with whether he has white blood or black blood?
And that's the point exactly. We don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Like I said, I have one baby that's half Italian, and she looks white, and then someday you can see all of our features. That's what lets me know that she's ours.
Wow.
You can see our features in her. Okay. But like I told my children, nowadays you have to do the DNA testing.
You got to do DNA testing. Yeah. Exactly. You have to. Thank you so much, Terry. I mean, I do think the DNA testing, is it something that you're in support of? Like, that doesn't even matter. I don't know. I mean, I'm living my life as a black woman. So even if my ancestry DNA tells me that I am 55% European, that's not going to change how I'm moving through this particular society. Yes, that becomes fodder for a birthday party or having friends over. We can laugh and talk about the fact that I'm half European, but that's not going to change my experience. And I think we have to talk about blackness from that particular level. Like, what do you see? If you are 90% white, you look white, you live as white, your benefit is white, don't talk to me about your 4% black blood and how you're marginalized because of that 4%. 410-319-8888. I have John on the phone from Baltimore County. John, how are you?
I'm doing great. How you doing, Dr. K?
I'm doing well. Thank you for calling.
Well, you know, I'm an older generation here, and when I grew up, one of the things that they told me, I'm from North Carolina, one of the things they told me, one drop makes you black.
Right.
You know, that's the slave master, one drop made you black.
Right.
Therefore, you couldn't inherit your father's property because one drop made you black. And one of the experiences that I had when I was in college, University of Maryland, they were doing studies, and black students was never selected for studies. And we had a set of twins from Puerto Rico. The male looked dark, looked African, but his sister looked white. And what they did in Puerto Rico, they classified you by your skin color. He was classified as black. She was classified as Caucasian when she was born, strictly by your skin color. And so I think one of the things that we find that hurts us, one of your callers said he was mixed. I think that's one of the reasons why black America is no longer the number one minority. We are ashamed of our race, ashamed of our color. So when we fill out a form, we put down other as opposed to black. Or African America, because they have made us ashamed of who we are, you know, and it shows that, you know. But again, you know, during the slave time, during that one drop made you black, and then we can complain about this gentleman who is, you know, 90% white or whatever. But the DNA, what we have now, science and technology can hone down to where you are or what you are. If you want to go that way.
Right, which means that then everything should be mixed up, right? So if that's the case,
right.
John, then we need to do away with the racial categories, right? So if we're going with DNA, people need to walk around with their DNA test in their hand then.
That's right. We need to get away from it and look at we are all human beings. We all started from Africa. I don't care where you are or what color you are. We all started
I agree with that. Thank you so much, John, calling in from Baltimore County. We have Brother Shabazz on the phone from Gwin Oak. How are you, sir?
How you doing, sister?
I'm doing well.
I told your producer, I guess that's who she is, you have such fantastic shows. I tell myself I'm just going to listen. But I just want to say this. You have a wonderful topic. This is what happens to us when we deny the Creator.
Mm.
The scripture says, and you know the scripture, God is not the author of confusion.
No, he's not.
The confusion lies because God says that it is our Father who determines who we are.
Right.
That's who determines who we are. Our Father determines. I don't care how black I am. If my father is a Caucasian,
mm-hmm.
just because I have a dark hue does not make me black.
Right.
Because I have to go by what my father is. That's all I want to say.
Well, now, I want to say this before you go, Brother Shabazz. And sure. Leo, Andrea, Abraham, I see you. I am coming to you. But just to kind of push back a little bit, now, we understand that that is what the Bible says. That was also the law in England. We have to add that here in America, when enslavement was first put in place, one of the first things that those legal folks put in place is that you get your legal status not from your daddy, but from your mother. Why is that? Because you had so many Frenchmen, so many white men from England raping black women, and they wanted those black children to be enslaved. So they changed all of that here in this country. So if your mama was enslaved, so were you, even if your daddy was a plantation owner and he was living as a free man in this country. That's where we get the confusion from.
Everything. Our oppressor has defined everything.
Yes.
That's what I said to you before.
Yes, you did.
We go by whatever that standard they set up,
yes.
that's what we go by.
Yes.
We don't go by what our Creator says. We go by what our oppressor says.
Yes.
They came out with this DNA now. Why? So that they can manipulate and cause more confusion. Let's stick to and see what God says about it. Since we say we love God so much, we believe in God so much, let's see what God says about it.
I'm agreeing with you. Thank you so much, Brother Shabazz. I understand what you're saying. I completely agree with you. We have Leo Burris on the phone checking in from Bolton Hill. Hey, Leo, how are you? I figured you'd call in on this topic.
Good afternoon. Dr. K.Y.'s Whitehead. Well, wonderful topic as always. I am not ashamed of my African ancestry. I know that most human beings on this planet have some ethnic diversity,
right.
but I'm predominantly black in skin color and hair texture and all of that. And I'm going to remind everyone that the slave master decided to divide and conquer, and one of his methods was, of course, raping black women from Africa
yes.
and creating a lighter-skinned black person who could work in the house and who was more loyal to him.
Yes.
Thus saith the terms house Negro and field Negro, etc.
Yes.
I think we need to tell the police, the Fraternal Order of Police, when they kill and shoot us because their perception of us is that we're black and we're downtrodden and they just don't like us. Tell after the murder has occurred, which is continuing, the police brutality, let's let them know that you killed the wrong. We're not really black. Those people you thought were black were really, really more white than black. I don't think that's going to change.
No, it's not.
The concepts of race that have been inculcated into the culture of this society.
Right.
I don't really think so. And I hope it doesn't, because I don't want any of us to derive solace from the fact that I'm 5%, 10%, 15% Italian, but I just got shot by the cop who says I'm black.
Right. Right. I mean, but that's what we're talking about. Like, I mean, I hear what people are saying. I know about these legal cases. I think these cases are not going to pan out to change our life on the ground. My DNA test that may show that I'm 50% European does not change my experience, my real lived experience of moving through this society in a marginalized body in this space.
I hope we will escalate our efforts to be liberated in this institutionalized racist society,
yes,
rather than languish on the field of battle, as it were, with a belief that we're somehow not as black as we ought to be.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much, Leo. We have Andrea on the phone. She's a new caller from Northeast Baltimore. Andrea, welcome to the family.
Hey, thank you. Beautiful topic.
Thank you
for accepting my call.
Absolutely.
I want to piggyback on what everybody else said, and it was basically wonderful in regards to being ashamed, and that's why we don't fill out things the right way. I would have to disagree with that. For me, it's systematic. You know, why give you an up? If it's not a beneficial to me directly, then it's really none of your business. And
I like that.
I think the whole matter of it all is to know when and when not to participate.
So how often do you check the box? I mean, I do. Every time I have to sit down and do one of those things where it says, you know, can racially self-identify, I'm like, okay, what is this for?
I honestly pick anything but what it is.
Mm-hmm.
What do you need to know for?
Right.
What does it matter? What does that want to change anything? So I pick the opposite of what I think they're looking for, if any, something, anything. It doesn't matter. Because at the end of the day, the same way that people want to go get tested, are you going to test me?
Right.
Are you going to prove that I'm not?
That's true. That's true. Have you done a DNA test, Andrea?
I wouldn't dare. I wouldn't dare. I mean, again, back to what everyone else is talking about, it's biblical. You know, I don't want to be classified unnecessarily.
Right.
If it's not up to a necessary situation, I'm not going to volunteer my information for it to be government classified. Right. Now you know.
Right, because I like to know who gets the DNA test. Like, what is it for? We're already doing the census, right? We're doing this, the U.S. Census every 10 years, and we have to tell them all the information, and we know those U.S. Census then determine where they're going to put libraries, how much money they're pumping into communities, where the schools are going. Like, all of that determines a lot when you put in for those census tests, and they see a community is predominantly black, and they look at the income levels of those communities. So we know they're already getting our information.
It still doesn't matter. If people aren't standing up for their communities and participating in the things that's going on, it's still overseers that's going to decide where that money goes.
Yeah, sure.
Earlier about the plan field, one thing I think we need to accept as black people, the plan field is never going to be fair.
Yeah,
no matter how much we complain, no matter how much we whine, no matter how much proof we have, it's not going to change.
Yeah.
We need to adapt to what's going on and just take it with a grain of salt and do better. You know, I believe
I
everything that's going on. I'm not blind to the world, but I don't see any change. And so, you know, let's change the way we look at it instead of making someone else change. You can't make someone else change.
Man.
They're not going to make it fairer for us and less fair for them. We already dominate.
I completely agree. Andrea, I appreciate you calling. I mean, it's something that Malcolm X talked about. You know, how can two runners, you know, when they started the race, one runner is able to move on through. One runner has, you know, all kind of chains tied to their ankle. They can't move. They can't go forward. Well, if that's the case, then it's not an equal playing field. And even if the chains come off that runner that's starting late, that runner is starting behind and will spend the rest of their time trying to catch up. If you ever watch track and field, you know exactly what I mean. Imagine you've been lapped three times. How long is it going to take you? Because even though you're rushing to try to catch up, that person in front is still running. That's why it's going to take over 200 years in terms of the income gap between black and white communities to finally get on par. I mean, you're talking 263 years before that happens. This race has been happening for a long time, and black folks have been held at the starting line for a very long time. We have Abraham on the phone, a new caller from East Baltimore. Abraham, welcome to the family.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for calling.
Hey, I love the topic. I'm very interested in it, and I love to hear everyone's opinion. One thing that I did want to say was the DNA testing, we're coming to find out that it's actually not as legitimate as we have been seeming
Come
to
on.
Believe and what we have been told, because most DNA companies, they can only go back four generations.
Oh, come on.
Whereas we know our history stretched back longer than four generations.
So I can't even trust the DNA testing is what you're telling me, Abraham.
Yeah, we can't really trust the DNA testing, because even with DNA testing, where they get their information from and where they compare the DNA to, they get it from all over the world and from all different types of people. And, you know, all different types of people have mixed
right.
together to create, you know, the people that are today. So the DNA testing aren't as it isn't as legitimate as we seem it as it is to be.
Now, let me ask you, does it even matter to you, Abraham? I mean, would you be willing to racially self-identify?
I want to get to a point to where I don't want to racially identify myself.
Okay.
But what I do want to say is a lot of things are changing in the world now.
Okay.
One example that I do have of that is the relationship that Africa now has with China, and there's so many newly African and Chinese.
I saw that.
Newly mixed race children coming along. So something is definitely going to change, and this topic is definitely going to come up politically soon.
Oh, it's going to come out. I mean, you figure that by the time 2045 comes along, if the research holds true, that for the first time in the history of this country, whites will not be in the majority. By the year 2045, the white population will be below 50%. It's going to be around 47%. And they are predicted to continue to drop while every other race will climb.
Yeah, and hopefully equality will come along with that as
well.
There
we go. That's what I'm looking forward to. Thank you so much, Abraham. Let's keep talking about it. 410-319-8888. Does it even matter to you folks? I mean, Abraham didn't racially self-identify. Do you? Do you say I'm a black person? Do you say I'm an African-American? And if you do, what does that mean? Do you say I'm a white person or a Caucasian or a European? What does that mean? When I talk to my students, they are quick to tell me when they talk about their history, no, I'm Italian. No, I'm Greek. They pull it all in there. What do you say? 410-319-8888. We have Simon on the phone. Simon's also a new caller calling from Park Heights. Welcome to the family, Simon.
Hi. I'm glad to be in the family.
Yes.
You know, this is an interesting topic. I identify myself as an American of African descent.
I like that.
But the reality is there's only one race. That's the human race. The white supremacist racist used to use as an argument that the races are not supposed to mix.
Right.
But the Bible says every seed after its own kind. And if the human seed interacts with the human seed, it produces a human seed. But if a off seed interacts with a seed that is not of its own kind, it'll create a hybrid which won't be able to reproduce.
Right.
Now, the slave code declared that you follow the race of the mother.
Right.
And that was to protect the institution of slavery.
Right, absolutely.
So that the white man could go down and rape as many black women as he wanted to, and all of those children would be chattel. But if the baby came forth from a white woman, it would be a free person.
Right.
The reality, though, is when you talk about racial identifying in this corrupt and decadent society, we're really talking about what one of the previous callers said. You know, every day that I ride the street, if a police pulls me over, my life is in danger. Regardless of what my, you know, ancestry,
right.
DNA says, that police officer sees a black man. I don't identify as black.
Yeah.
I understand all of the implications of that. I just identify as an American of African descent. But when I get pulled over,
there you go. Come
that
on.
Police officer sees an end. That's it.
They're not interested in your DNA testing. They're not interested in how you racially self-identify. We go by what we see.
That's it. And it's the same thing. Now, you filling out applications, a lot of that when they're asking you questions on applications is just for statistical purposes only.
That's what they tell us.
And that's so that they can justify themselves.
Yeah.
And when I say they justify themselves, now I'm talking about the political breakdown.
Right.
The Republican, the Democrat, the conservative, the liberal, et cetera, so that they can look at the demographics of society and say we're making progress here or we're not. But that's all that's about. All that is for data gathering and statistical demographic information.
Now, Simon, I have to stop you there because we have a hard break here. Please, thank you for joining the conversation. Folks, hold it here. When we come back, Al, Kevin, Ock, Holly, I will get to you. We're talking about blackness and whiteness, not just in the age of Trump, but in the age of a president who considers himself to be the least racist person that we know. This is Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. Give a call and stay in the conversation and keep it here for MTA.